This is Handle on the Law, marginal legal advice where I tell you, you have absolutely no case. If you're injured and need a lawyer, go to handleonthelaw.com. And if you're a lawyer and want to join our team, because people desperately need your help, go to handleonthelaw.com and click on the Join Today tab at the top of the page. The following is a pre-recorded program. All right, I don't have to say this, but I'm going to. This is a case out of Florida. Of course it is. And this was a domestic dispute that ended up with criminal charges being filed against a Florida man and his daughter who were accused of battering a third family member. All right, so the fight breaks out on a Friday night in Wildwood. It's in central Florida. The home occupied by this guy, Bruce Shell, he's 51, his wife, his daughter, and his son, the cops identify as the battery victim. So what's the big deal here? It's your normal family domestic dispute where someone gets beat up. Oh, no, no, this one is really great. The police department arrest report reads that the Shell family had ordered Chinese food, but the takeout containers were not labeled. There's the problem. So Shell gets upset since he didn't know which container of food was his. So his son is arguing with his dad and sister over the food, whose food is which. The son ends up eating his dad's food, not knowing. So they have a dispute. The dispute turns violent. The sister begins punching her brother in the face. And then Shell, the dad, joins the fracas, puts his son in a chokehold. Oh, man. I mean, this gets so good. All over Chinese food. I love it. So what ends up happening, of course, they're criminally charged. The son had visible red marks on the front side of his neck and bruising and redness. So it's not the end of the world. It wasn't like broken bones or anything. But they were arrested. Now, the son who got beat up, who does he go after? Do I have a case? I'm asked on this show quite often. And I would say yes. There is a lawsuit against the Chinese restaurant. And why is that? Because they didn't label the containers of the Chinese food that the family had delivered. That is negligent. Not labeling Chinese food containers is a serious case of negligence. And if I were asked that question, I'd say at least $500,000 for negligently not labeling Chinese food. Let's take some phone calls. Albert. Hi, Albert. Welcome.
Yeah. Hi, Bill.
Yeah.
Hi, Bill.
Yeah. Go ahead, Albert.
Yeah, I live in a senior assisted housing in Burbank, and I'm being continuously harassed by my neighbor right above me. And I've complained to the Burbank Police Department numerous times. They responded, but they've told me that their hands are tied and there's not much they can do, and this should be resolved by the management.
Yeah, that's true. The police won't do anything. They look at it as a civil disturbance. When you say you're being harassed, what does that mean, Albert? What is your neighbor doing, upstairs neighbor?
I've ended up sleeping on my couch, and even on my couch in the living room. And even then, I'm not being left alone. They're dropping objects.
Wait, what do you mean? Your upstairs neighbor is dropping objects. What does that mean? On your head? Outside?
Well, no, on the ceiling.
So they're making noise.
I'm on the, yes.
Okay. All right.
3 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I cannot even sleep.
Okay. So police aren't going to, police aren't going to do anything about it. So have you talked to management?
Numerous times. And they have, and it's like they're acting like they're inept. They haven't done anything. To be maybe moved to another unit, perhaps. And
they won't do it.
I've been ignored. I don't know. This is a hot assisted housing. This is supposed to be my shelter, my refuge. and I'm being arrested.
Yeah, no, you can file a restraining order. Now, that doesn't mean your neighbor upstairs is going to pay attention to it. But right. If you file the order, the judge will give it to you. It's fairly easy to have a judge give it to you. Filing it, I mean, you can hire a lawyer, but you can do it yourself, Albert. And you're going to go in, you're going to argue it, and you're going to say what you're going to do, and the judge will restrain your upstairs neighbor from doing that. He's going to keep on doing it. And if it happens enough times, the police will come down. We'll go over there and give them some grief. When you talk to management and they ignore it.
They've done that. Yeah.
It's really interesting. I mean, you know, when they're going to actually pay attention is the third or fourth tenant that moves out because this guy is upstairs.
Right.
And what does management do? Do they say they'll talk to him or they just say we're not doing anything?
They don't disclose that to me. All I do is I make a report to them that this is happening, this is taking place, I'm being harassed every day, every single minute and hour, and it's not right. As a tenant, I have rights.
Yeah, no, you do. No, you do. But it's just a question of practicality here, too, because when you want to make someone's life miserable, you make someone's life miserable. You can. And have you talked to your tenant? Have you talked to the guy upstairs?
Only once. I went upstairs with a small gift in the beginning. I had a small gift, you know, as a good gesture, as a goodwill gesture. And I said, you know, I'm being harassed. I hear continuous banging and knocking. Please be cognizant that there's somebody downstairs. It's not right. It didn't help. Right after a day or two, everything came back to the same scenario.
Does he do this every night?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And in this morning, I don't know what to do.
I would start with a restraining order. If management won't help you, you know, the easiest thing is to move, but it's not that easy to do. I mean,
senior assisted housing. I would lose the benefit.
Right. Can you apply someplace else? I'm just trying to be practical here, because if you take the legal.
Yes. But there's a 10-year waiting period.
So you don't have much of a choice.
Options are limited.
They are limited, Albert. I would start with a restraining order and serve him with a restraining order. That's a legal document.
I also advise the Fair Housing Center, and I don't know how much teeth they have.
No, they don't. The only it's just getting the guy out. But it's when you have management that doesn't enforce the civility of tenants, you're in a different state.
They don't.
You're just in a different world.
They don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously not.
Exactly.
So go look under a restraining order. You print out the papers yourself. You can argue it, and the court will grant it to you. And then after that. Where do you go? Then it gets really difficult because when you have crazy neighbors, and the law is not wonderful. I mean, it used to be you could take a baseball bat to their heads, but then that's always been problematic. Jody. Hi, Jody. Welcome.
Hi.
Yes.
I have a question. My employer is trying to force me to take the booster shot.
Have I lost you? Hold on. Can the employer force you to take a booster shot?
Yes. My employer force me to take a booster shot?
Sure. I think so. Okay. Why wouldn't you anyway, Jody? All right. I've lost you. This is no good. This is a bad line. You're going to have to call back. This is Handle on the Law. Welcome back to Handle on the Law. Hey, Brandon, welcome to Handle on the Law. What can I do for you?
I sold the car to a gentleman. I filed a release of liability with the Department of Motor Vehicles. That gentleman never transferred the title out of my name. He then promptly ran it into a gas pump and a pole and caught fire. And now I'm receiving collection notices that they want me to pay $27,000.
Well, yeah, and you're not going to pay $27,000.
No.
It's real easy. You just say, hey, I don't own the car anymore. It's just because he didn't register it doesn't mean that I'm going to pay. I don't own the car anymore. They may sue you, but you're fine. You're not going to be held responsible, and you want to go to the DMV and figure out whatever it is, get your name off of the registered owner. I don't know how they do that, but you certainly don't own the car, and you shouldn't have title to it having sold it. So all you have to do is prove that you sold the car, and you should be okay on that one. And the collection company, I mean, they're going after anybody they can possibly tag. So as long as you have the proof, you're fine. I wouldn't worry about it. You're in pretty good shape. Hey, Felix, welcome to Handle on the Law.
Hey, thank you. We have a neighbor. Their tree is overgrown through power lines that divide our homes, and is growing over into our yard, and it's just now become a burden into our yard, but also into the power lines. Now, Edison said that they won't do anything about it because the tree is in their yard and they have to be the ones that call about it. And I just want to know what repercussions I have if I have to chop this tree down.
Well, hey, when you talk about it's over on your yard, how much of the tree is actually over into your yard?
Well, it covers at least a good 20 feet into my yard, growing towards my house.
All right.
And it's going through the power lines.
Well, the power lines, if it's not on your property, is not your issue.
Well, it divides the property.
I'm sorry, the power line divides the property?
Yeah, like there's two power poles that go from, let's say, east to west, and our houses are north and south.
So the power line,
does
the power line cross your property?
No, it doesn't cross the property. It divides our property.
Okay, but is it on your property at all?
The power line?
Yeah.
Well, the pole is sitting in our yard that takes the power line to the other down the neighborhood.
All right, so if the pole is sitting in your yard that the power line's involved in, why would the power company say it's the neighbor that has to deal with it, not you, since the pole is on your property?
Because it's their tree. They're saying that they won't do anything about it because it's the neighbor's tree, not our tree. They were offering the service to come cut the tree down if it's into power lines. So we thought, okay, we'll call them and tell them that there's a tree.
No, that doesn't make any sense. I just don't get it. But your neighbor won't even call to have it done?
Well, I'm not sure if they'll do that or not. They once offered to come cut the tree, and they never did.
You know,
I'm assuming they're not going to cut the tree.
Talk to your neighbor and say, you've got all the liability. What you want to say, I've talked to the power company. Let me tell you something. Something happens to those lines, they're going to tag you. They're going to say you're responsible, so you want to take care of this. Let's trim that tree. That's the way I'd go, because legally, what are you going to do? The power company says no, and let's sue the power company. We'll see how far that goes. Vincent. Hi, Vincent.
Hello.
Yes.
I haven't received W-2 forms from two different employers in about 12 years. What's my recourse?
You haven't received W-2 forms?
Yes.
All right, so you've been filing taxes as an independent contractor, 1099?
No, I haven't filed taxes in about 12 years.
But you've been getting paid.
I'm on disability, actually, so I don't pay taxes.
Well, but wait a second. But employers, I mean, if you earn money, even if you're on disability, you still pay tax.
Right.
You don't get free income. You had two jobs, two employers, and you didn't file taxes at all.
No, I never got my W-2 forms.
Well, you know, it's up to you to go find them. You haven't gotten them, the IRS is not going to smile and go, oh, you haven't gotten them, you're fine.
One of them told me she needed to only keep my records for 7 years.
Well, I mean, as far as filing taxes, you're not going to have to deal with 12 years. But I got to tell you, how much money did you earn a year, Vincent?
About $45,000.
And so 45 grand that you paid no taxes on?
No, because I never got my W-2 forms.
Let me ask you, because you never got your W-2 forms, do you think that you don't owe taxes? Do you think that's
going to... I'm sure I owe taxes.
Yeah, that's not going to excuse you. If you don't get them, it's up to you to hunt them down and get them from the employer. Okay, what you have to do is you have to have an accountant on this, Vincent, because you're going to have to get in with the IRS. They're not going to be happy at all. If you've gotten $450,000 over the last 10 years, for example, and you haven't paid a dime of worth of taxes, you've got some talking to do. They're splaining to do here, Lucy. You need someone who's an enrolled agent to talk about it. Now, are you going to have to owe the entire amount? Not going back for 10 years. I don't think so. But you've got to file, and you're going to have to file amended taxes. I mean, there are big issues going on. Get yourself, you need an accountant and someone who deals with the IRS, someone who's an enrolled agent, and take it from there. LastPass, a password management solution company with paid and free plans, recently announced that cyber criminals had breached their system. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Your personal information gets exposed so often, it's dangerously easy for a cyber criminal to steal your identity, and that's the holy grail. Protecting your identity can be easy with LifeLock by Norton. LifeLock detects and alerts you to potential identity threats you may not even spot on your own. You probably don't. Like crimes committed by thieves pretending to be you. Now, if you become a victim of identity theft, with LifeLock, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all ID theft or monitor every transaction, every business, but LifeLock, it's easy to protect yourself. Join, save up to 25% off your first year with a promo code HANDLE. Call 800-LIFELOCK, promo code HANDLE, or visit LifeLock.com, promo code HANDLE. This is Handle on the Law. This is Handle on the Law, marginal legal advice, where I tell you, you have absolutely no case. Bruce, welcome to Handle on the Law.
I went to court last week, and the judge put on me 5-year restraining order against my wife. The police arrived and picked me up, put me out.
Wait a second. You filed domestic violence order, or you filed a restraining order against your wife, and the police came and kicked you out?
No, vice versa.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood then. I thought you said. All right. So the police come and they dump you, throw you out of there. Okay. Was this from the house?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So we went to court, and the judge gave me 5 years restraining order against her.
Hang on a minute. You said that again. Gave you a restraining order against her for 5 years, correct?
She has a restraining order against me.
Okay, you keep on saying it wrong, Bruce. You keep on saying that you have a restraining order against her.
No, she has it against me.
Okay, thank you. That's twice. All right, go ahead.
Okay, now, previously, she's filed. I've been arrested 3 times prior, and all 3 of them been DA rejects. Okay.
Arrested for what, Bruce?
Domestic violence.
Okay. And the DA has the DA has rejected all 3. They didn't go forward with it. All right, fair enough.
Right, so here we are now. And so I got a 5-year restraining order, and my question is to you is, do I have a civil case against the system?
No. No. Absolutely okay. Not. Yeah, the judge can determine who he believes. The fact that you've been arrested 3 times, obviously there was some reason the police arrested you. Maybe once there's an issue, but 3 times, a judge is going to look at that and go, that's a problem. 5-year restraining orders are very rare. I was thinking, why 5 years? Well, you explained it. You've been arrested 3 times for that issue.
But the DA doesn't see it that way because they're all bogus.
Well, did the DA say it was bogus, or they just decided not to go forward with it?
Well, I haven't talked to the DA because it was always dropped.
Okay, but that doesn't mean that the DA said it was bogus. That just means that they didn't want to go forward with it, or there wasn't enough evidence. But okay, so your question is they dropped it, and now what? What's your question?
So now the witnesses, both witnesses, originally she had 2 other witnesses who didn't show up. Our first witness testified on my behalf, and the other 2 witnesses, their stories were not believable, and the judge...
Wait a sec. You said that... Wait. You said they didn't show up.
The first 2 witnesses.
Right. So when you say they're not believable, they weren't there.
Okay, those 2 weren't there.
So what's there to believe if they don't show up?
Okay, in the first filing, she had 2 witnesses. And then we had in the continuance. And then in the second continuance, two other witnesses showed up. Okay. And one stated that she heard me threaten my wife. And when my lawyer questioned her, she said she was outside washing the car.
All right, Bruce, we're going too long into this. Your question is, can you sue the system? The answer is no. You can't sue the system. All you can do is try to go back in and to unravel the restraining order. And I don't know why you would. Why would you want to even go back and get anywhere near her?
No, I'm not. Where am I getting near her? My thing is this here. I drive trucks for a living. I have a commercial. I have an endorsement license. So this is going to affect my.
Okay, they're going to take away your license?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then you want to have reconsideration. You want to go back to the judge and ask him or her to reconsider. You need a lawyer on this one, Bruce. If we're talking about you're losing your livelihood because of this, yeah, you have to get yourself an attorney to deal with this. This is not something that I'm going to be able to answer or give you the kind of advice you need because you've got an issue there and you definitely have to find a lawyer. And it's probably a family law attorney, I would guess. Brian, hello, Brian. Welcome.
I have own a house that there was a water leak in the wall that got the girls noticed water on the floor. Opened up the cabinets, and all the cabinets were water in there, and mold had started to form.
Okay.
I called the insurance company, and they sent a girl over with taking pictures, and then they had a plumber come in with food dye and listening devices, and he proclaimed it was the diverter in the bathtub upstairs.
Upstairs being your home or upstairs being someone else's property?
No, upstairs of my home. It's a two-story house.
Okay.
Now, since that time, I had they moved out because of the mold, and I've had someone come in and tear that wall apart, and there wasn't any leak from upstairs. It was a cracked pipe at the bottom of the wall. And I also had him change that diverter that the guy claimed was the responsible for it, and there was nothing wrong with that diverter. So I have the pipe that broke and the diverter.
All right.
Is there anything? I mean,
yeah. There's plenty you can do. Well, yeah. You probably could. First of all, how much money are we talking about to bring it all back to normal?
About $20,000.
Whoa. Okay. So now you're talking some serious money, and you have to effectively appeal the decision with the insurance company, and say, "Hey, look at this. I've got the proof. You're denying a claim that is legitimate." Then you got a couple things you can do: sue them, the insurance company, make a complaint to the insurance commissioner, saying that. Although I don't know how far that goes. But you have to get aggressive with them and just go, I want to talk to a supervisor. You're unfairly not paying. I have the proof that what you're saying is simply untrue. Now, you don't want to get too aggressive with them because their position, if I'm the insurance company, I say, hey, we sent our plumber out there who said it's pre-existing. Is it okay for us to believe our plumber? That's not bad faith. But you are coming back with, here's the proof. And if they don't do anything, then you get aggressive. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir, it does.
Okay, try that. By the way, I don't know if any of that actually is true. I made all that up. But sure sounds good, doesn't it? Damn, I'm impressed with myself. I would call me and believe everything I say if I didn't know me, if you know what I'm saying. Brenda. Hi, Brenda. You're up. Welcome to Handle on the Law. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I just updated my computer this morning. I got an email stating, and it was short and sweet, stating on this date, the amount of $499 for the company would be taken out of my account. I thought it was a scam because the only thing it said was to dial this number if you wanted to stop this transaction.
I deleted the email
thinking, you know, this is a scam.
Well,
and the more I got to thinking about it, I'm like, how can they just go in and take $500 out of my account? This might be a question for Rich DeMille.
Yeah, they can't. They actually just can't go in. If they've just gone in and you don't have a relationship with that company,
no.
And they said, we took out the money. First of all, you have no idea if they did take out the money. You have to.
Right. It might be an after the fact. I know I right. should have called my bank.
That's a matter. You can still call it.
They don't have any of my information.
Okay.
How are they going to do that?
I don't know. That's why you want to call your bank. And
I do want to call the bank.
Call the bank. Do not call their number back because do not get into their system. So it's easy.
No.
It's easy, Brenda. You simply call your bank and say, was the money taken out of an account?
That was my first thought. But I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe I'll just talk and just see if it's a maybe.
No, you do not.
Come back and say,
Brenda,
what am I going
to
do?
You do not talk to them. You go to your bank and see if the money was taken out. And if it was not, you forget about it. You're done.
Okay.
It's a scam that didn't work. All right?
Well, I was thinking well-known company. Why would they even
I don't know.
They
email people in mass. There could have been 200,000 of those emails that went out.
Okay.
There could have been 2 million of those emails that went out.
Yeah. That's why I thought it was a scam. I'm like, how do they know me?
It probably is a scam, Brenda. So
but I knew better than to call that number, and
good for you.
To go to my bank, but I thought, you know what, just out of curiosity, I'm going to check.
No, you're going to check with your bank, and that's it. This is Handle on the Law. And welcome back to Handle on the Law, Marginal Legal Advice. Hey, Bob, welcome to Handle on the Law.
Yeah, I was told to get right to it. So about 7-8 months ago, I was rear-ended at a stoplight from another car. Obviously, all his fault. The insurance has settled the property damage of my truck and has already taken care of all of that. But I haven't gone to see any medical. My neck was bothering me. It still got a little kink in it. But I don't really think I want to deal. You know, I could have sued these people for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
No,
if
you,
I was
no, you couldn't. No, you couldn't have, Bob. you could
well,
sue
I didn't
for
want to do that.
Okay, so what's your question?
What could I reasonably expect out of them to settle out of court? Just 6-8 months of neck pain that's going away. What would be a reasonable amount that they're going to say here?
I don't know what a reasonable amount would be because everybody has a different idea of the pain. But I'll tell you what they are going to offer you: zero, Bob. Zero. You didn't go to a doctor. You have no objective proof that you were hurt. You're coming back 8 months later. Oh, by the way, I really hurt. I've been hurting for 8 months. Well, why don't you say?
Well, actually,
go ahead.
They have offered me something, and they've been calling me every. They've been calling me every other week to settle.
How much are they offering you? How much are they offering you?
Well, right now it's at $2,000.
Wow.
It started.
That's
it
news
started
to me.
It started at $1,000.
Wow.
And 6 months later, another representative took over from the guy that was handling it. I guess she was a step up. I was kind of thinking if I waited another 6 months, they'd offer more. I know they just want to get it off their books.
Yeah, they do. But I'm stunned they're offering you $2,000 with absolutely no medical, no proof whatsoever that you were injured, and they're still willing to give you a couple of $1,000. I mean, my God.
I guess they're basing it off the damage of the truck.
Could be.
To a neck injury. And they said, if I want to go do the medical stuff, have x-rays, MRIs, they'll pay for all of it. But if I'm not going to do that,
Bob, I don't know what to tell you because I from my experience, from my experience, I mean, $2,000 under the circumstances where there is no proof of an injury at all, other than, my neck hurts, here's $2,000. I got to tell you, I'm impressed with that. So here's what I hear. No, hold on a minute. If they're willing to already give you $2,000, I'd go for $500,000. Maybe they'll give you that too. Start at $500,000 and then I'd settle for $250,000, why not? $2,000 with no proof of injury at all, other than your word for it. And when you're dealing with soft tissue, anybody can say, I hurt. But at one point he had it right. And that is, if the damage is that extraordinary, let's say you do come up with medical and there's a car is totaled or $10,000 damage, that does give some credence, but still, I'm shocked. I would think it'd be a few hundred dollars just to get rid of it, but depends on the adjuster, depends on the insurance company. Depends on the policies where, let's say $5,000 damage, they'll give you X number of dollars. And if it's $10,000 or $15,000 to repair the car. And keep in mind what insurance companies do. Their job is to bring your car back to where it was before the accident. And if your car ends up being totaled, that means that the repair is worth more than the value of the car. But if the repair is worth less, let's say the car is worth $18,000 they would have to write a check for, and it's going to cost $15,000 to fix it, they'll give you $15,000. They won't total the car. So that's the way insurance works. Hello, Dan. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Bill, I was a California resident until May of this year when I established Oregon residency. While I was in Oregon in April and May, establishing a place to live, my wife, who stayed in California in our home, went to an attorney and had divorce papers drawn up, which were served on me in late June. Am I subject to everything California?
Yeah.
Being a resident?
Yeah, you are, because it's a California divorce. Your wife is in California, although there won't be much difference between Oregon law and California law. Any property you own is probably in California.
So I get screwed the same way.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get screwed the same way. It's simply the law that splits up assets. How long were you married, Dan?
About 30 years.
Okay, and did you support her for 30 years?
Absolutely, all the way.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be paying support for the rest of your life.
Terrific.
Yeah, but you've been, that's, welcome to the world, That's just simply how it happens, It's interesting. Think about this for a moment. You've been married for X years, 20, 25, 30 years, and you've supported your spouse, whether you're the breadwinner, if you're a wife or a husband, it doesn't matter. And all of a sudden, you're out of there, and you're still working, or you have a pension. Do you therefore leave your spouse just out there hanging with no income? Hey, I'm out of there. No, it doesn't work that way. Not only does the law not work that way, it's morally not working that way. I mean, you've got to support your spouse. I mean, it's that simple. You have for 30 years. LastPass, a password management solution company with paid and free plans, recently announced that cyber criminals had breached their system. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Your personal information gets exposed so often, it's dangerously easy for a cyber criminal to steal your identity, and that's the holy grail. Protecting your identity can be easy with LifeLock by Norton. LifeLock detects and alerts you to potential identity threats you may not even spot on your own. You probably don't. Like crimes committed by thieves pretending to be you. Now, if you become a victim of identity theft, with LifeLock, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all ID theft or monitor every transaction, every business. But LifeLock, it's easy to protect yourself. Join, save up to 25% off your first year with the promo code HANDLE. Call 800-LIFELOCK, promo code HANDLE, or visit LifeLock.com, promo code HANDLE. This is Handle on the Law.